What up, everyone? It is your boy Ty Pounds, and you are now tuned into the I'm Saying Dope podcast. In this episode, we are featuring Philly's up-and-coming mural artist, BK. Listen in as BK shares with us how he found his talent and followed his heart, the ups and downs he went through in life that has made him the person that he is today, the power of God and the large amount of faith and belief that he has in him, the movement and message he's created through his work of Love Not War, breaking social cycles, finding focus through life's everyday distractions, and his exclusive invite to represent Philly in the Made in America Festival by Roc Nation. Tell the people a little bit about yourself and like what you do.
What's up, y'all? So my name is BK. My artist name is BKL Visions. I'm a visual artist out of Philadelphia. I do all types of art, man. Murals, canvas art, structural art, clothing, all different type of mediums of art, man. So I'm an artist, man. Up and coming.
Right. Now, how'd you get into that? Was that something that you've been doing since you was a kid, or is something that you just kind of came to love?
Yeah, I've been doing art all my life, man. I'm 41 now, so I've been doing art probably since I was about 11 or 12. I was always that kid that was in class, you know, just doodling, never doing my schoolwork. Never doing my schoolwork, strong graffiti, man, while the teacher was teaching. You know, I just always had a love for graffiti art. So, yeah, man, I've been doing it since 11 and 12 and, you know, just started taking it serious as, like, a profession for the last 7 years, and taking it professionally as a super business for, the last 3 years.
Right. Now, I know you got in trouble when you was younger doing doodling in class. I know you got some stories
I got a lot of stories, man. I was that kid that was intrigued by, you know, movies like Beat Street and Breaking Two and stuff like that. I'm kind of old school a little bit, but yeah, I was that kid that was always intrigued by graffiti. I would see it, you know, in the subways. I would see it on the highway. When my grandmother would drive us around the city, and as soon as I got home, man, I would try to mimic it on her walls and stuff like that in my room, man. Grandma, she was not having it.
I know she wasn't. At least when I caught you, they definitely, you writing on some damn walls, it's a problem. That's funny, man. So, like, how do you get your concepts as far as like going with your art, and is it the same as when you started out when you was a kid?
Yeah. I mean, believe it or not, man, like a lot of people a lot of people wouldn't know, but a lot of the stuff that I do now, like a lot of the art that I create is stuff that I really been doing since I was like 12 and 13, at a very young age. And it, you know, earlier in your life, you really don't understand like your calling and your gift and things like that. You just, you know, feel like you could just do certain things. Like, I always knew I had the talent to draw, but I didn't know it was actually my gift and that it was something that I would actually be in life as an artist. So, yeah, man, a lot of my inspirations just come from, like, old graffiti from back in the days, things that I like to see, colors that I would like to look at. You know, a lot of it's like self-inspiration, motivated from things that I like myself, but right. It just so happens that it works out that other people love it too, so it's a beautiful thing.
Right. Now, is it any time, like, in your time of, you know, growing and doing your art, you know, because you said you was doing it for quite some time now, I'm pretty sure along the way it was a time maybe that something turned you off from it, or it, like, your dream of following art maybe was maybe tarnished or put to the side?
Yeah, well, like, you know, my twin brother, man, he passed away like 3 years ago, man. God rest his soul. But he used to always joke with me and say things like, "Yo, man, you got all the talents, bro. You know how to play ball, you know how to rap, you know how to draw." And I would always laugh at it, like, "Yo, man, you tripping, man. You gotta do stuff too." But, you know, know, now that I look back at it, like, I always had a love for music, for hip-hop. Basketball is my first love. Then, like, making music, hip-hop will probably be my second love. And then art will be my third love. But now it's like, I'm old, I can't play ball no more. Now, I'm too old to be a rapper. And art has became my first love. So it's just crazy how that evolved like that for me.
Right. Now, you said your brother passed away.
Yeah, my twin brother, his name was Khalif, man. That was my twin brother. He passed away. He had brain cancer. It was a rare brain cancer called glioblastoma. And, you know, he fought it pretty well, man. But, you know, his legacy lives on through me. And, you know, he's actually the one that inspired me to go back to doing art. One of the last conversations that me and him had, right before he got, you know, like, super, super ill.
Right.
When he started losing his senses, he started losing his hearing, he started, you know, the cancer was, like, rapidly affecting his brain, so it got to a point where my brother couldn't even, like, see, hear, or, like, really speak that well. And, like, the last conversation that me and him had before he lost his senses was, bro, you gotta use your gift of art. Like, that's your gift.
Damn.
You gotta take that and run with it. And that was like 3 years ago. And ever since then, like, I've been going super hard with the art.
That's like, deep, bro. I appreciate you sharing that story with us, you know, especially with me. Personally, that's deep, you know, and that's what I was gonna ask you. Like, it sounds like that's your motivation, him, your brother, really just, you know, speaking the life into you to keep going and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, like, absolutely, man. It's crazy, but, you know, we all go through those tough spots in our lives where, like, you know, we battle different things and we struggle with different things. You know, I had a rough period in my life where it just seemed like everything was, like, falling apart. And then, you know, I wound up getting saved right before my brother passed away. And, you know, God just started, like, you know, clearing the cobwebs away in a sense for me. And just having that last conversation with my brother was just, like, reassuring and motivating in itself, where it was just like, you know, this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So,
right.
I took it serious, man. I've been pressing ever since.
Right. Now, like, how do you maintain that? Because, I mean, through the ups and downs of life, you know, personal things going on, how do you maintain that focus and that drive to keep going forward? Like,
I mean, for me, I always felt like I was supposed to be doing something special with my life. I just never knew exactly what it was. And just going through, like, the, you know, the trials and tribulations I did go through during life. Like I said, having that last conversation with my brother was just a light for me. It opened my eyes to say, you know, you're getting older. You're getting older. So you got to really figure out what it is that you're going to do and focus on that. And how I get through it is every day, man, just talking to God, man. I got to walk with God daily, man. Like, I know a lot of young cats, a lot of people out there probably don't understand, like, what it is to have a real, true relationship with God. But, like, you have to have that foundation just to keep you level-headed. Because there's so many temptations out here, so much stuff that we can easily get caught up in. It's our human nature to, you know, be tempted and like certain things, but, like, to have a real relationship with God is what keeps me focused and keeps me on track.
Yeah, amen to that, man. And it's not a spiritual podcast, so there's really no religion, but we all believe into something, hopefully, or some higher up, and whoever that is for you, yeah, that's where it's at. It's finding that, getting in touch with that spiritual side of yourself. Because that's what really knows the answers.
Absolutely. He's the author, man. You know, God is the author of everything. You know, like you said, you know, whoever you believe in, whatever you believe in, ultimately, you know, your God should represent everything. everything to you, and you should know that he's the author of your life. So, you know, that, you know, Jesus is my author, and I keep it moving like that.
Right. Oh, man, I feel the same way, bro. I was personally born Catholic and raised, and when I, after a while, I wound up following my own path and finding my own spiritual side. And to tell you the truth, like, I feel like I just hit that in the last year, like, really, yeah. Just following, because you think you know God, or you think you know your other spiritual self, your true self, and you yeah. just don't until yeah. it kind of just hits you. Yep. It hits you one day, you know, and most for most people, it hits them when they at the all-time lows, like at the bottom of the bottom, sure. And it ain't nobody else to really look at or get help from. You got to dig deep inside yourself. And that's where the real power is, digging deep inside yourself, because nobody else knows the answers.
Absolutely. Like, man, listen, man, I went through periods in my life, man. Like, I was drinking. I was drinking all types of beer and liquor and smoking mad weed and popping pills. And I went through all that, man. And that was like a crash course, man. And, you know, I fell. But I had to get to a place where I ultimately had to call out and ask for God's help. And he answered, you know what I mean? And since then, I've just been trying to, you know, just stay on track with life and do the right thing and, you know, make him proud. And hopefully I could touch somebody and reach somebody that, you know, might need some type of assistance or help, or, you know, or just a shoulder to lean on or an ear to listen to, man. So I don't think I'm above nobody else. I'm this is just a gift that God gave me, and I try to utilize it in the right way. And if I can help somebody, that's what I want to do.
Amen to that, man. So, like, how do you try to get the message out to people, and what is your exact message that you're portraying through your art?
You know, the message that I'm portraying in art is basically like love, not war. You know, that's a number one saying that I always say, or, you know, try to translate through my art, love, not war. And it's just basically bringing like love back to the world, just back to people, you know, equality. Everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to coexist. Everybody should want to coexist. Shouldn't matter your skin color. Shouldn't matter, you know, your financial demographic or anything like that. Like, you know, we all God's creations. We all people. We should just be able to coexist, man, without the violence, without the hatred, without the segregation, without any of that kind of stuff, man. So I'm just big on, like, the whole love, not war movement, and just, you know, bringing true, authentic, unconditional love back to the world.
Yeah, that's major, especially in a time right now where a lot of the United States is we all in our own little separate bubbles, and,
yeah,
you know, but when it's all said and done, we all in the same pie. We all in the same pie, so
that's why we gotta try to make it better, man. You know, if we here and we gotta exist, if we gotta exist, we should be able to coexist. So, you know, it's just about bringing the love back.
Right. Now, is your message based more towards like kids or adults or just everybody?
Yeah, it's really for everybody, man. It's really just like, I think for so long, I know for us, you know, as, you know, minorities and African American men, just growing up in our communities, man, it seems like we're already pre-programmed to like hate one another. And, you know, it's like it's a social norm in a sense. It's just like, you growing up a black male in an urban neighborhood, you gotta have some type of survival instinct, some type of guard up to be able to protect yourself. And you unconsciously knowing, like, you're breeding a self-hatred and a hatred towards your brothers and sisters without even knowing, because it's been such a social norm for a long time. So I'm just trying to reprogram, you know, everybody's mind frame and thinking with the whole Love Not War movement and just promote more love, more peace, and more unity.
Yeah, that's and to touch back on what you said with just, you know, us as black males being in, you know, the urban cities, it is a programming, and you don't realize it until you wake up or you get outside of it that it's other people that got genuine love that want to say hi, that actually is giving you a genuine smile, that actually do want to lend a hand, where you start to question that programming on why am I hating not just somebody in my color, but why am I not even giving the other person a chance?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for me, man, like I think about it. I think about that kind of stuff a lot. Like I'm a thinker, man. I'm a deep thinker, man. And you know, it's just certain things that always rubs me the wrong way when it comes to like my community, you know, my city, my state. You know, it's a lot of things, man, that just shouldn't be happening. And like I said, it's just like pre-programmed behavior that we just got to break the cycle, man. We just got to break the cycle. Like, it's crazy because a lot of times I'm like walking in stores, I'm walking in certain neighborhoods, and like, I speak to brothers, man. I speak to people, man. A lot of times you get people that's just like, they get shocked when you just say, you know, hey, what's up, bro? How you doing? How you doing, sis? You know, it's like abnormal to them.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show, man, like we got real live issues on our hands socially in our communities, man. So I'm trying to break the monotony with my art. That's it.
Facts. And I mean, I touched base on this on another podcast, but the social media, and I'm probably going to touch base on this on multiple podcasts, social media is not helping at all. Like,
no, it's not. It's not.
It's really disconnecting us further and further apart because
there's
no genuine love no more. Like, you actually do get, I guess, once you win the programming and then you got a social media programming happening to you.
Yeah.
Now when people really, like, come to talk to you or address you or whatever the fact, you looking at them sideways because you don't even know how to communicate anymore.
Right, right. And always, for me, social media is like a double-edged sword, man. It's pros and cons to social media because social media is actually a powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's used in a negative sense, then that's when it becomes dangerous and that's when it becomes poison. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And I think the bad thing about social media for the youth, and for, you know, you can say for adults too, but I always start with the youth because, you know, they're growing up, they're the future, they're the ones, you know, adapting into this culture right now, and this is their reality, is that it puts the world at their fingertips when they really shouldn't have access to the world at such a young age. And I think that's what makes it hard for them to be able to, you know, just be normal children, be normal teenagers, because they're seeing everything right at their fingertips. And a lot of the stuff is negative, unfortunately.
You don't get time the kids ain't not getting time to grow up anymore. It's right to it. Everything's right to it.
Yeah, like when I was growing up, I grew up in the 80s, like, you know, early 80s. I'm a 70s baby, grew up in the 80s, man. Like, man, you ain't get to see nothing unless you had encyclopedias in your crib. You feel me? Like, it wasn't no internet, and it wasn't none of that kind of stuff. Like, you ain't no, like, if your folks had the money to be able to get, like, encyclopedias, then that's the only time you seen pictures.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You've seen other things around the world and stuff like that. But now it's just like I could click a button and just be exposed to any and everything under the sun.
Yeah, which isn't good. But like you said, at the same token, it does have its benefits. It's just you getting everything that the world giving you in one situation. You got the good, the bad, the ugly, everything right there. And they throwing comments and...
Yep.
And yeah.
And kids can't process that stuff. It's moving too fast. it's happening too fast right in front of their eyes, and they don't even get a chance to process the things that they saw and the things that they hear, man. So, you know.
No, it's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just try to, in my light, just shine a positive aspect on the world and expose, you know, the youth to, you know, just something different, man. And hopefully they gravitate to my art because I try to make it interesting and something that they might like and want to see.
And what's crazy that I'm sitting here thinking about, like, you said you was raised, you know, in the 70s or raised in the 80s, born in the 70s. Like, you really didn't, I mean, and I'm not speaking for you. You tell me, until you hit your 30s, that's really, really when you feel like you kind of start figuring things out for yourself. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You're 1,000% right, man. Like, I have these conversations with my wife all the time, man. You know, we always talk about, like, you know, babe, well, what you think is, like, the perfect age where you finally get your life together or you finally figure it out. And, you know, and me and her are always like, yeah, it's not really, like, until your 30s, like, until you, like, 34, 35, where you actually kind of got life figured out in a sense. And I'm not saying, like, all the way, but 34, 35 is where it's just like, all right, I kind of got a sense of direction of really what I should be doing and which direction I should be going in. But, man, when you're in your 20s and all that, like, you're still a baby to the world.
That's true. It's true. And you think you so far advanced because you're 20, you could drink or you could do whatever you know, you already got a little place for yourself or whatever you may be doing. And that's not to take nothing away from the 20-year-olds that's you know, got a whole different mindset and they really getting it and doing it. But for the majority of us, for the common man, common person, the 20s is your fuck-up years.
Yeah, it really is, man. It really is. And you know, this coming from somebody that was 20, you know, and I did all that stuff. And, you know, I'm not passing judgment on nobody. I did everything under the sun that 20-year-olds would do, you know what I'm saying? So it's not a knock on being young and being 20, but, you know, you're really not figuring things out until your 30s. And the good part about it is if you can recognize early in your 20s what you should be doing, then you won't have to wait to get to your 30s to actually, you know, figure it out. So the earlier, the better, for real, if you can figure it out earlier.
What do you think is the separating point that stopped you from figuring that out early?
Honestly, I think I had so many things that I wanted to do, but never could really put my finger on one particular thing. Like, I always thought I was going to be this big time basketball star, and you know, the reality of that happening was just like, you know, nobody would never tell you, like, oh, yeah, you're not going to be an NBA player, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. So, I think a lot of people just, like, because I was good at playing basketball, a lot of people, like, just, you know, coast along with you. They'll do and say whatever you want, you know, whatever you want to happen. So, for me, I just had so many things that I thought I was going to do, but never really pinpointed one thing. And, you know, I had a child at 25, running around in the streets, just not focused, man, not focused. I was raised by my grandmother, who was an amazing woman. She did everything for us, kept a roof over our heads, you know, nurtured us. But, you know, my grandma was old school. She wasn't the type of grandma that was going to push you to be, you know, be all you can be in life, because she didn't come from that era, so she wasn't really pouring into us like, yeah, you can go do this and you can conquer the world and you can be this and you can do that. So I really had to find that myself, unfortunately. So it didn't happen until my late 30s where I actually, you know, figured out what I was going to do in life.
And if you could, like, talk to the old you, what's one thing that you would tell the young BK?
I I would tell the young BK to focus on my education. Don't focus on the girls. You know what I'm saying? Like, the girls, when you're young like that, when you're in your teens, man, like, y'all don't even know who y'all are as individuals. Whether it's a girl, whether it's a boy, like, you know, focus on your education, focus on building yourself up, getting all the tools that you need to put in your tool bag of life. And, you know, when that time comes for you to, you know, settle down and be in relationships and things like that, it'll be time. But, you know, the early years of your life are the architect years, man. That's where you're really building yourself up to be the, you know, person that you should be later on in your life.
Right. I totally agree with that, because I feel the same way. Like, I'll be 32 in another 2 days. Thursday, my birthday. You know, I appreciate that. Probably when y'all hear this, it'll be my birthday or a little bit past my birthday. Who knows? But yeah, I'm just turning 32, and I just feel like I'm, like you said, I'm starting to hit that point where the clarity is really starting to kick in. Like, you start weaving out friends, you start weaving out, you know, the good and the bad, you know, from what it is.
Yep. And that's the natural evolution of life, man. Like, you lose and you gain people, man. And people come in your life for seasons and reasons, man. And, you know, everything is a learned experience. And things happen. Like, even though when bad things happen, it's still ultimately for the greater good of your life. You won't see it at that moment, but eventually, if you stick in the race long enough, you'll get to see, like, oh, dang, I had to go through that in order for this to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, as long as we keep that mind frame, when bad things happen, then, you know, we'll be all right, man. You get rid of the stress and the worry and the depression. It's all about perspective and how you look at things, you know what I'm saying? So if you look at things in a negative light, it's always going to be in a negative light. But if you take things in a positive light, they'll always be in a positive light. That's just how it go.
Facts. That's facts. And that's this weekend, I came from this event out. They had out Jersey, this Real Estate Wealth Expo I had went to. I had Tony Robbins there. And it actually was probably the best time of my life with that whole Tony Robbins event. Shout out to Tony Robbins and what he do. I mean, he was talking for 5 hours and I literally didn't fall asleep. Like, it was he's good at what he do, for sure. So but just my, you know, what I took out of this weekend was, you know, piggybacking off of what you said, you know, it's all about the perspective. You know, it's not, it's not problems, it's only solutions.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Because we all got problems. We all gonna have, we all run into problems every day. That's just what it is. But
absolutely,
it's solutions.
It's definitely solution. Like, you gotta focus on the solution. Like, it's funny, man, because my wife always say to me, like, me and my wife might get into like a, you know, like a, you know, like a conversation, you know, a debate. And one thing that she always told me, man, and shout out to my wife, man, because she's an amazing woman, but she always say to me, like, babe, how can we find a solution to it? Because I'll run through every scenario, and then she'll stop me and say, babe, how can we find a solution? And I really started applying that to my life, too. It was just like, when things go wrong, things go left, I hear my wife in the back of my head saying, how can you find a solution?
And that's deep.
You know what I'm saying? And my thought process automatically switches right over, because I can hear her verbatim in my head, just like, babe, how can you find a solution? And then my gears switch on, and then I go from worrying right into problem solving that fast.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? And that's how I try to operate every single day.
That's the only way that you should operate.
Yep, that's it.
If you want to be successful, that's the only way that you should operate, because we all got problems. It's, the negativity is there, but it's about what you're going to focus on.
Yeah.
What do you want to focus on? So focusing on the solution, and the fact of the matter is, it's usually only one problem. When I say it's only one problem, it's multiple problems, but the problem at hand, there's only one problem on hand. But guess what? There's multiple solutions for that one problem.
Yes, it is. Multiple.
So it's like, how you gonna look at it? The choice is yours.
Yep. What's your perspective? How you gonna be optimistic or you gonna be pessimistic about it? How you looking at it?
Facts. Now what's a highlight of your career so far, you know, with your art? Like, what's something that really stands out? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. So far for me, man, like, I got picked to do Made in America Festival with Roc Nation, to be a part of, like, the Cause Village for Made in America that's actually coming up in, I believe, about 11 days, 12 or 11 days. And it's a thing where they got local artists from Philadelphia to paint certain letters that will actually spell out Cause Village for Made in America. And Cause Village is just basically a village that will represent all type of social causes that's going on in the world. So just being picked for that as an artist, just being from Philly, being local, kind of fairly new in the art game, you know, in Philly. So I would say that was, you know, that's a major highlight for me, man.
That's popping. So how they randomly just selected you? Was it like a drawing or a contest?
It was actually a, they put out a marketing advertisement, basically, you know, to local artists in Philly, you know, asking the artists to, you know, submit a rendering of, you know, what was their interpretation for a specific social cause. So I picked anti-violence just because of the Love Not War movement. I submitted my artwork, and I was one of the artists that was picked out of, I'm sure, a lot of artists, because it's a lot of artists in Philly. So, you know, that was super dope for me, and I was hype about that.
That's blessings. That's blessings right there. Everything sounds like it's starting to play out for you.
Yeah, man, it is, man. It's crazy because I'm starting to see things unfold a little bit. I'm enjoying the journey, man. I'm staying humble. I know who got me here, and it's nobody but God. And I just try to keep that in perspective too, man. Make sure I acknowledge Him first for everything, and, you know, man, just hopefully, man, try to enlighten somebody, or, you know, bring some light to somebody's life, or help somebody, or anything, man.
That's popping.
I just want to do something good, man. That's it.
That's popping, man. You used to see me, I'm sitting here smiling, geeking over here, like, cause you just got the good energy coming through, you know, like, I feel it, you know what I mean? I feel it. So I know everybody else going to definitely feel with you, you know, the energy and everything that you got coming out of you, man.
I hope so, man.
That's love, man. So what's the next big thing for you? Like, what do you see yourself doing after the Made in America situation?
I'm still working, man. You know, I got a studio in Frankfort, me and my partner, man. It's called BKL Visions 2OG Studio. It's based out of Frankfort. We're in a Globe Dot Works building. My partner, BZ. Shout out BZ, man. That's my brother for real. We got a lot of stuff, man, that we working on. We got a clothing line, BKL Visions 2OG. Got a lot of mural jobs lined up. I'm actually in school right now, trying to get my studio art degree. So just working, man, working, school. I got a mural project that I'm about to do with TTF Watershed. Just, you know, different things, man, I got going on, man. Just try to stay busy, try to stay focused, man. That's it.
That's lit. That is lit. And do you, like, as far as your services is concerned, you know, like, what do you have? Like, do you have, like, things that you sell? Do you sell paintings? Do you do...
Absolutely. I sell artwork. We have art shows. We have pop-up shops. We have all those things. We got an art show actually coming up in the fall. I have a solo art show coming up in the fall, thinking probably around November. We're going to have a pop-up shop probably in November as well. I sell my artwork. I sell artwork, sell clothing. I do custom work on clothing. I do commissions on artwork, all types of art, man. I'm always busy. They can always hit me up on the gram at BKL Visions.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So you got you do Facebook too, or you just got the Instagram?
No, I'm just on the gram, man. Facebook it's a little outdated for me. The gram be popping, so I just try to stick to the gram with it.
The gram do be popping. You ain't never lie about that. You just got to go in there with the right reasoning.
I ain't on no goofy type time when I'm on the gram, man. Like, it strictly be like business and trying to interact and network and connect with people with like minds and good vibes, good energy. I ain't got time for none of that crazy wild stuff that be going on there. So I'm strictly about business and connecting, man.
Facts, man. And I appreciate you doing the interview, because I reached out to you and it was all love from the beginning. Like,
Sure. I appreciate you, bro.
So I'm just trying to spread the message, you know, and really let the people see and hear who you are as a person, you know. So
I appreciate that, bro. I mean, I'm BKL Visions, but, you know, I just try to stay humble, man. I don't try to act like I'm nobody, man. I'm another human being like everybody else. But if somebody can be inspired by me, motivated by what they see, then, you know, I'm doing my job, man. That's it. Doing my job.
What's the one thing that you want to leave the people with? One message or one whatever that you want to leave the people with before you get out of here?
I would say never stop believing in yourself and believing in what you're capable of doing. I don't care how hard life gets. I don't care what space that you in and life at the moment. Storms are temporary. Storms are temporary. They pass. Stay focused. Pick yourself back up. Whatever you love inside of your heart, 9 times out of 10, that's your passion. That's your gift. Go in that direction.
Facts. And one more time, what's your IG, just in case they didn't catch that? What's your IG they could find you at?
My IG is at BKL Visions, BKL, the word visions. I got another gram at BKL Visions times 2OG, so that's BKL Visions _X_2.0.G.
Just like that.
Just like that.